Hello out there in the podcast universe. This is Tina, also known as Tiz, and I'm here with Lori, also known as Ain't I.
Hey, y'all.
And we're presenting to you our new podcast, The Cobblestone Exchange. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Cobblestone Exchange.
It is our hope to shed light on the relatability of each person's innate genius. Through understanding, we envision improving the human condition. Disclaimer, we are not professional doctors, licensed therapists, or psychologists of any sort.
We don't know nothing.
We're simply sharing our opinions based off of personal experiences.
We crazy, y'all.
In case of mental health emergency, please contact 911 or the National Suicide Prevention Hotline at 1-800-273-8255.
Welcome back to our exchange on depression versus bipolar during our Myth Expo, where we expose myths. Now, this is a topic that both Ain't I as well as I can relate to on different levels, as I deal with major depression and she deals with bipolar. Now, in part one of this, we discussed the definitions and symptoms of both of these diagnoses. And then we did have our bonus episode where Ain't I went into some in-depth experiences that she went through, where she shared some very personal things with everyone. And now we're at part two of our Myth Expo, where we're going to flip the coin and talk about the positive sides of things. So let's listen. Talk about the positive qualities, or there's some positive qualities that you would say go with bipolar?
Yes, I would definitely say that there are quite a few positive qualities that go with bipolar, and for every other condition, quote unquote, you know, not all of them. For this one, there definitely are some positive qualities that you can develop because it is a long-term chronic condition. And you can live with it. Everything doesn't have to end in a tragedy like we see so many of our celebrities and things like that, and people that we love and stuff like that around us. But anyway, what I would say is the euphoria. I'm sorry, I just went down to the euphoria being a positive trait. Now, guys, we gathered so many resources for this that I'm kind of like paging through to jog my memory because, you know, my mind be like all over the place. And it just made me laugh. All right, hold on. Positive qualities, what I could say just speaking from my heart, is that what all of this has taught me is how to know where to find my spiritual grounding. Because, like, I went to talking therapy for a while, and then I think I, you know, went through another situation. And and then at the end of it, you realize that you're talking to the therapist, and then the thing that you go in talking about is not the thing you come out talking about. That doesn't end up being the topic of conversation. Because the therapist does a good job of peeling it back, and then you end up reflecting more and more and more. Yeah, for a while, I feel like the therapist at some point has to, like, set you free psychologically, you know, and just give you pointers when you need to, almost like a parent.
Yeah.
And what I found when I felt that she couldn't offer me no more insight was that I had to just feel God again. And I didn't feel like I was without, you know, that. Until I felt so much like I needed more. It was a weird, interesting feeling. I can't even really put it into words, but it was like an intense, like, desire to learn more about myself as a spirit, not just this human experience, not just what's going on today and right now.
And that's how the euphoria felt?
Mm-mm. That's how it felt, basically. That's how it felt as a positive quality. Like, the spirituality that I ended up rediscovering was a positive outcome of going through therapy, of your life coming to a halt and you having to start over again from scratch.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds you of the first lessons that you were taught.
Yeah, that's bring you back to the basics. Because you have to teach yourself, like, going through the depression battles, like they say, it's debilitating, and then sometimes you gotta reteach yourself things. Like, I found it interesting, like, I met a woman, and she said she had to learn how to talk all over again, because her depression caused her to be so isolated to the point where she wasn't speaking anymore, and she had to the point where she couldn't speak until something happened. I can't remember what happened, but she finally was able to speak after a while, but she pretty much had to learn how to talk again, had to learn how to use her phone again, because she had just been out of it, went so long without doing these normal everyday things.
Wow.
And like, people don't realize how debilitating a mental health issue can be, like, in that way. Like, it's really, like, not people's will just to be like couch potato, just to be a zombie. It's not people's will to not want to be happy or productive. Like,
it really isn't.
That's why I get so mad when people think it's a choice people make, right? But yeah, that's my little rant. I won't go into a full one.
Thank you for sharing, Tiz. So yeah, you know, I think that was definitely the first and most important positive trait that can come out of it. And usually we have the depth of feeling to really, you know, get a lot of the expression of our creator, because we can feel the euphoria and because we can feel the depths of despair. It's like we intrinsically get a certain part of life that a lot of people who have easier paths may not see or get until they're old in age. So it's the wisdom that comes from having accelerated experiences and a lot of perceived failures. You can design something bigger and better.
Yeah, because you have to keep coaching yourself each time, even if it's not what someone would consider a real failure. It's a perceived failure, like you said. So either way, you still have to coach yourself back to square one. So I can see how that would develop skills in that nature.
Great insight. Yes. There's nothing better than when somebody can paraphrase and then reteach you about something you just said out loud.
Yeah, I'm used to you doing that with me.
Oh, man.
I must be getting used to this interviewing thing.
Oh, man. Ladies and gentlemen.
Talking about like how productive you get even though it's like in a manic phase. I'm pretty sure that's useful for like some, like, especially if you have like temp jobs you could take while you're manic or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, and you can work at your own pace or something.
That's kind of a good way to wrap or tie in all of the loose ends, because the productivity is what made me realize just recently that I might be having a manic episode. And it was like my brain just told me whatever had been programmed, whatever observations I had already known. I was saying to myself, I feel real manic-y. I don't know, I just feel on, like, I just wake up feeling nice and intoxicated, like, you know. And you know, that could be impulsive, that could be reckless, but all in all, I look back and I was like, but wait a minute, how did I accomplish everything else that I've accomplished? It seems like impossible, like some other person did it, you know. So I was like, wait, was I manic then too? Was I manic when I was filling out my college applications? Was I manic when, you know, when I was able to actually, you know, like, maintain the, like, I don't know. It's hard to distinguish, but definitely, like, if you got some plans and if you catch yourself in the right frame, Yeah, man. Sometimes, yeah, the right place and the right time can be your friend when you have this condition.
And like you say, you gotta learn about yourself and learn your own symptoms. Like, that's why I think it's good to have like a therapist in cases like that to help be. I feel like therapists are mirrors. They basically are reflecting what information you give them and presenting it back to you.
I think that's exactly what it is. It was this episode of King of the Hill where Bobby was like, they was in summer camp, and one of the activities was to be a therapist, a kid therapist. So they talked to the other kids, and the first rule and the only rule was, you can't say anything back. You can't give any kind of response or feelings. All you can do is say you understand and agree with what they're saying. You can't say nothing. And then he was like the best therapist in the world because he just gave that stern acknowledging, like active listening.
Yeah, like you usually do with me.
Yes. And then like everything that they were saying, he like just rephrased it into a question and said it to them.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know what? I feel so much better.
Yeah, sometimes we need somebody to like present what we're saying back to us because sometimes we're in autopilot.
So. Yeah. Yeah. How about that?
Pause.
Yeah, and that's a public service announcement. Let's really use our voices and communication as therapy tools, because when you don't get therapy or when you can't afford therapy, we are each other's keepers, you know?
Yeah.
So active listening skills perfectly mirror, like you said, what therapists essentially do. That's why some people are like, I don't need to go to no therapist. Well, you may, because you don't have a support system. The people in your life are not good listeners.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why we need institutions when we as people aren't able to hold up our end of the bargain as a whole.
Yeah. And then
sorry. I get real serious.
That's why we here to get real.
Okay.
Get real with it. That leads into like the next subject, like coping strategies. Like you said, we talked about therapy being a good one. What are some good coping strategies that's good, particularly for people experiencing bipolar?
Oh, yeah, I'm really excited about sharing this. I ain't come up with this, but here's some coping strategies. Notice yourself. This is something that I struggle with. I don't know if this is a symptom of my condition or this is just my personality, but I went from being unaware of myself, like not able to perceive myself as an actual being. As a little kid, that was like one of my first existential crises, that if your eyes are on your face and they're turned outward, it was like some kind of riddle that they gave us in school that terrified me. I've always been afraid of riddles. And the riddle was like, who are you around the most that you see the least? Mm-hmm. And the answer was yourself, because you don't see yourself.
Oh, wow.
Fuck my head up. Yeah, I'm sorry for the cursing. Messed my head up.
Yeah, that's deep. Yeah.
You know, so like that was always lingering in my mind, like other people see me and know me more than I do. And then that's also an existential crisis of a child, and I just figured that out the other day. That's why you go through adolescence, or that's why adolescence is a stage of life, because at first you don't realize yourself, and as you become aware, it's almost like Adam and Eve covering themselves with the fig. You realize your nudity. All this time you've been stalking me. It's like having a stalker, and you realize your stalker is your parents and your loved ones, and you realize they've been actually watching you this whole time. You thought you were like doing your own thing, and just shit was just happening.
That's why people rebel and go through like goth stages, and like not to say anything in particular about goth, but like people go through different stages.
Rebel against the norms.
Yeah, and change up their style.
Because I love goth. Yeah, I went totally goth. Yeah. Yeah, black people goth out too, man.
Yeah, I appreciate the look from time to time.
Mm-hmm. I was real dark in high school. My first, I was giving people the hand, and it was dye. It was wear black. That was my motto. Don't ask me for a piece of gum. I'm telling you to die.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to giggle.
Yeah, it's okay. It's okay. Some of it is comedic because I gotta lighten it up because I scare people. I scare people and I digress. So the whole thing with body language is it took me a while to realize that my outward expressions don't actually always match my inner expression. Or sometimes it does, and I'm so disconnected from how I feel that I only just see a reaction and don't know why. So here's the thing. Use your eyes to your benefit. Look at yourself. You know, like you tell a child to look in the mirror, prepare themselves for the mirror. Look at yourself. You know what I mean? Feel yourself. Just take time to close your eyes and run a 3D scan on your own body. You know what I mean? Like, are your hands clenched? Are your shoulders tight? Are you clenching your jaw and not even realizing it? Okay. So you got to do that. And then it's like, you also have to do things like let it all out. You know what I mean? Talk positive to yourself. Write it down. Even if you got to be in your room, jamming to your song, and then taking a pause and telling yourself that in the mirror. You know, word is bond. We know what pisses us off. So really, really, really know what pisses you off. You know what I mean? Like, understand what your five senses react to. You know, what is tasteful and distasteful? When you know your surroundings and keep in mind that toxic people and past situations can affect your current mood, you can know how to check them when they first start brewing. You know, yeah, remind yourself where you are. Also, exercise. Everybody knows that that's essential for all functions. And then also, this is the most important one that I think, besides the first one, beware of misreading situations. Our minds naturally speculate when we're in this state. So what it does is it can provoke negative thoughts, for example. Say if you call a friend and they don't call you back immediately, don't draw conclusions. Don't think no type of way. Because I learned the hard way that the majority of the time I created situations in my mind that were distorted.
Yeah, good for that too.
Uh-huh. And then finally, we deal with it every day. Don't apply your perspectives to someone else. Mm-hmm. Anytime you find yourself saying, why did he say that? That's not something I would have said. Every time you hear yourself, you know, getting inflamed at something that Donald Trump says, or just something out of pocket that you consider is out of pocket, just drop it. It's no sense in it. It says something in the book of Ecclesiastes, and I don't know what it is, but you know better than I. It's just, you just drop certain things, because that train of thought only stirs up negative emotion. Some roads do not lead to an end.
That, Lori, that was good information. I hope that's beneficial to someone out there that may have been thinking about this. Yes.
Word is bond.
As we know, things are always better when we know a celebrity is going through it. Lori, do you know any celebrities that deal with the clinical depression or bipolar?
Excuse me. Yes, there's a lot of people that created a lot of great works that that have this. Mariah Carey, she was diagnosed back in 2001. People like Kurt Cobain, Ted Turner, Kanye West, Sinead O'Connor,
my girl Jennifer Lewis. That's my girl.
Oh yes,
she got a book out about it too.
Oh, you know, I love her so much. She is our mother from another world. Yes. Mother from that's TV mom right there. Yeah. And the thing is like, it's leaders like Winston Churchill, just names that you would associate with leadership and with extreme, you know, savant talent, you know, like Kanye.
Yeah, I was surprised to see Jimi Hendrix and Frank Sinatra. Like, yeah, at talented people.
I'm very, very surprised. And then the thing to me, and I guess that goes into how I feel in general about my experience with it, is that there's a lot of candles that are extinguished because the person themselves couldn't see their way out of it. And we've seen examples like so many times when you look at, like, you know, people that were suffering and they took their own life, or they just lived a life where they just let it happen to them. And the thing is communication can actually just change so much of that. So just talking to somebody, even if it's a stranger, sometimes I've found when I'm the most depressed and it don't seem like no way out, and like people are shoving positivity down my throat that I know and I'm not buying it, it's always when I open myself up to an interaction with a stranger. I don't even call myself opening myself up. I'm standing in line, I'm agitated. Then somehow somebody beside me, you know, gives me a look and we feel the same way and we exchange a quick, you know, and it just makes my day and it just refuels my heart. So never give up. Never give up trusting in people and trusting in the goodness that is still left, because you're just waiting to meet the person that will bring you up out of that without them knowing it and without you seeing it coming.
Yeah, that's why I think it's important that we do this project and speak our truth, because yeah, you never know who's going through what you're going through, as we said a few times. Yeah, we definitely appreciate you sharing our experiences, your experiences with us, because it can never be easy to be vulnerable like that.
Oh, most definitely. And the amazing thing is that all the anxiety that I'm feeling, it actually feels like a release, because I'm not sweating. I don't feel like I'm in the hot seat. I feel like I'm actually, it's cathartic, or whatever that word is.
Yeah.
What's the condition? If somebody could please tell us what the condition is, but saying words that you actually don't know how to pronounce, but you do know the definition of, or that you just vaguely associate with the conversation and throw in there.
Yeah, I can imagine a few words.
There's
might
a
say.
Word for that, yes, and I'm ready for it. Thank you, everybody.
Yes. What was I saying? Oh, yeah, but we definitely covered a lot today. And yes, and I feel like you felt like after I went over my segment with ADHD, like it is a release, and then the next day I kind of felt raw and vulnerable, like, dang, wait, everybody's listening.
Said?
Yeah, so please, like,
that's always my feeling when I give up tape on myself, whether it's recorded or not.
Yeah, so please at least have some respect that.
Please, like, guys, I come from a really, really private family.
Yes, me too.
This is like monumental, and Lord have mercy if somebody I know is listening.
This is monumental in a Black community, or coming from a church girl, born and raised in a church. So this is like breaking barriers through, well, it's definitely breaking some different, it's bringing about a change.
And you making so many people proud. Yes, because that is your legacy. I mean, that's your heritage. And that's a beautiful thing.
Yes. So, just to recap, so we talked about a lot today. We shared a lot of information and experiences about depression versus bipolar. We learned there's the depression, normal everyday depression that people feel when they're sad about a particular circumstance. And we learned about clinical depression, how it's persistent depression over time, and bipolar, and the highs and lows that come with bipolar. And we also dispelled a few myths that, like, everyone doesn't experience depression in the same way, and like there's all different types of depression as well, and something doesn't necessarily have to happen to you for you to go through a depressive moment. It could just be like hormonal imbalance, like just mood altering, and like something going on with hormonally. So you don't necessarily need to badger someone as far as asking them like what happened, because it may not have been something specific, because I can attest for that myself. Some days I just wake up depressed and have to work my way up to happy. That's most days. So Yes, we learned that it can be debilitating. It's not something you can snap out of. And and we learned the different stages, like how manic, how it may feel to be manic, and also the positive qualities we must remember. Like at the end of the day, there are positive qualities associated once you can manage your symptoms. You can learn how to change things around, turn it around and make it your story, make it fit you. Took note of the different coping strategies that Lori mentioned that you can use, and exercise is one that goes across all of them, and mindfulness is another big one. Journaling is another big one that helps with multiple diagnoses. You want to go over our sources with you, Lori?
Yes. We accumulated a lot of different information, so we want to thank you and let you know where we got it from. Mayo Clinic, Medical News Today, a great site called psych2go.net, WebMD, of course, America Family Physician, which you can find them at the AAFP.org handle, and then there was Everyday Health, and also NIHM.nil. So thank you very much, and for more information you can refer to those.
Yes, and so just to recap, this is our Myth Expo po. So we will be coming back with more myths that we can dispel, and make sure you send us your comments and let us know a subject that you want us to go over, or myths you want to dispel about a particular subject. And you can always find us at Cobblestone Exchange on Instagram or Facebook. And you can also download this app as well, and that's another way to keep in touch. That's the best way, I think.
Yeah, because you can actually leave us a voice message so we get a better feel for who you are. We would really love that.
Yeah, we can play your comments on the air. So let us know what you're thinking. So
thank you.
Yes.
Have a great day. Share with your friends.
Yes. Peace out.
Peace.